I know you laid a lot of groundwork leading up to this era, that you have Native Americans coming up to you and say what you did.
Last night.
We're both getting tears right now. What you did for them. They're stronger today. Their children are stronger today. Isn't that true?
Yes. Last night they came up and cried with me. They were so happy to see me. It was just a loving.
Here on campus at the University of Tulsa, and you showed Indian 101, which is a great documentary. I have it. And so they did come up to you and talk to you. Here's another name that you must respect, and that's Wilma Mankiller.
Oh, yes. Oh, I knew her well in the last stages of her life. I was part of it. And, of course, the Cherokees remembered that I helped them be able to elect their own officials. So they honored me in a parade and stayed at her house, and it was a wonderful occasion. I knew them, but not as well as I, and I continue to work with her husband.
Yes, Charlie Soap.
Charlie Soap.
We have her also on VoicesOfOklahoma.com. I just wanted to mention the current edition of Time Magazine, September 18th, 2017, first, Women Who Are Changing the World. It has 50 women in here who were the first in many of their areas. And so were you, a first. Could have been almost a first lady maybe too, you know. But then one of the reasons you're in Oklahoma is you're receiving the Changing World Prize presented by the Woody Guthrie Center, and you'll be doing that Sunday night. You served as an honorary co-chair for the Women's March in Washington in January. That's one of the reasons they're honoring you. As an advocate for equality, peace, and social justice, Ms. Harris follows in the footsteps of Woody Guthrie as a guiding force for positive change in our world. Among your many, many honors, you're giving this honor as well. Isn't that special?
Oh, it is wonderful because we followed his life and know his son, Arlo, very well. He's one of our champions. It's always been. So it's even a bigger honor because of that. We admired him so.
Can you even say, as you look back, an accomplishment that you're the most proud of, or several?
I guess starting Oklahomans for Indian Opportunity led me to do all these national things and international things now. That experience was so rewarding, and I learned from the people I met. It makes you conscious that, as we say now at this period of our history, that we want to be at the table when they negotiate. We're negotiating on resources or trade or those kinds of things, but we're not negotiating on how to get along with each other. So in our ambassadors program, we're training that they can be diplomats to be able to negotiate things that have well for all people, following their own cultural values because we're one with nature. And as the president of Bolivia, who is indigenous himself, says, he has an empty chair in his cabinet, the chair for Mother Nature. So they're using their cultural values because we think that we're related to all things, rocks and mountains, peaks. We know that we have the DNA of the stardust, so that even before the Anglo scientists discovered it, we said that long ago. Our relationship with all things, we must remember that now as we meet international people, that we're related to them, and we're always been embraced by indigenous people worldwide. It's been a wonderful experience going with the Ainus of Japan, for instance, who just got recognized by the Japanese government that they're indigenous people. They would never say that before. And now they're saying it, and now they come and be a part of our program as well as inviting us to Japan.
Explain that term, indigenous people. What does that mean?
Indian people,
right.
Native people.
But Japanese are using that
as
well.
It's first people
to that land.
Uh-huh. And now we've got a voice at the UN. We're part of the UN that takes our grievances and helps us publicize them. We learn about each other. I've just got the magazine that we're part of, reading about what events are happening in Guatemala, what's happening in South America, as well as Africa and India. Indigenous people are finding their voice because they've been colonialized so long. It's really amazing in some of the countries where the colonial government had them, never dealt with them exactly. They were just kind of on their own, or they're always outside of everything. And that was true in Bolivia. They're 85% of the population, and they were ruled by this upper class group of Spanish descendants. So finally, when that government decided they were going to privatize water, the Indian people said, you can't privatize water. Water is life. No one could own water. It's for everybody's. So they demonstrated for about 2 years, and finally the government resigned and they elected an indigenous person as the president. So that's what's happening around the world. It's really been remarkable.
It's remarkable. As I've been listening to you, to remember that you're 86 years old. You don't seem to be 86,
oh,
and I don't know what they are supposed to be, but I've seen people who are 66 who seem to be older than you, and you've been blessed. I think you referred to earlier, Comanches lived to be long livers, as
yes,
we say, and that's in your DNA.
Yes.
And forefathers lived to be at least that age and into their 90s.
Mm-hmm. My grandfather was 90, so we have a good lineage. My grandmother was 88, I think, when she fell and kind of set her back some, but all of that energy I've inherited from them.
Yes, and you displayed that today. So then how would you like to be remembered?
Oh, that I love people, and I believe everybody has medicine, which if you get to know them, that you can benefit from knowing them. It's what I strive for and what I live off of. It's what keeps me young.
Yeah, young is for sure. Thank you so much.
You're more than welcome.
Very nice of you to share this today. I appreciate it very much.